we turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 86, and we shall read again the last verse of the psalm. Psalm 86 at verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. Amen. The title to this psalm is A Prayer of David, and it is one of five psalms which are described as prayers. Another would be Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And many more of the psalms contain prayer. They are praises, first and foremost, but in them you have the experience of the Lord's people, and they are praising God, and they are making their petitions known to God. And that shows us that God's people in this world have needs which they must bring to God the Heavenly Father, for they have been taught from His Word that He is the one who is able to supply their need. And He has given them many promises to encourage them to bring their needs to Him, to frame them in requests that He would graciously answer. It is interesting, at the beginning of the psalm, David prays in this way: Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Many would say, well, surely that's those of the world. They're poor and needy. They do not know the Lord. They're in need of His salvation. Here is David. He is a man of God. He knows saving grace. But that is how he expresses himself: I am poor and needy. And you have that throughout the scriptures. What is the poverty here? It's the poverty of the one who is a believer in God, who recognizes the holiness, the majesty, the glory of God, and his own nothingness and sinfulness in the presence of the Almighty. And we remember the Beatitude when Christ said to the disciples, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So friends, this is how we ought to be. When we come before the Lord, when we pray, you can't come before God with proud prayers. If you do, then God will not hear you. If even as you make your request, you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm praying because I've been taught to pray, because it's my duty to pray, but you're still imagining that you can manage yourself, you can accomplish things yourself. No, you go to God as empty in and of yourself, and you come to the one who has a fullness which He gives to His people by Jesus Christ. God's saving grace, the riches of it in the Redeemer. David knew something of that. Indeed, he knew much of it. But he saw his own sin, and he found himself in difficulty. And so you have here petition after petition And that instructs us. The prayer is to be made continually. It should be as natural to us as breathing. And we're pouring out our heart to the Lord. At the end of the psalm, David is asking for one thing in particular. He's not being specific as to how the Lord might answer, but the request is put in general terms for the Lord to answer as he sees fit. And the request is this: show me a token for good. He's asking the Lord for a token. So we have a warrant to do that. And we shall see as we go on what the token is, why it was requested, and what it represents in the life and experience of the child of God. A token for good. Oh, we desire that. We go to the Lord for it. Many times, perhaps, in the walk of faith, God leaves us in this sinful world. We face opposition. It's not an easy thing to be a believer. And we may be cast down. Our sky may be dark. We may have little in the way of encouragement. But we do this, following the example of David. We go to the Lord and we pray, show me a token for good. And God helps. And he revives our soul. And we go on our way rejoicing, because we are assured that the Lord is with us, and that he will be with us until the end of our journey. Well, firstly then, to consider what this token is. Show me a token for good. And a token is a sign of some sort. It's an evidence. And here it is surely an evidence of the favor of God. David is asking the Lord that he would do good to him, for him. In another psalm, he prays, "Thou art good and doest good." And he's confident in the goodness of God. And he knows the goodness of God in the covenant. The bond that God has with his own people in Jesus Christ. And he's praying as one who has trust in the Lord. He's not seeking some sort of miracle, a sign like that. You have people today, and that's what they're looking for, what they're expecting, some sort of wonder to happen. It's not that God is unable to do wonders today. He does. And the Lord may do wonders in terms of healing, recovering, delivering. But that's with the Lord. He is sovereign. And we cannot live upon such things. What we live upon is God's covenant faithfulness, day after day after day. And when he prays, show me a token for good, the Lord might answer by some providence, some dealing with the psalmist, the Lord intervening in a trying situation, the Lord coming to show himself as the one who is a father to his children, taking care of them. And do we not long for that? This is the blessed relation we have with God. What a marvelous thing that the God of heaven should have children upon earth. Well, he has one eternal son, his only begotten, but he has many adopted children. And he lavishes his love upon them. We see it in his providence. But the Lord may give a token in the way of some inward grace, a blessing for the soul. And that is perhaps what we desire above all things. That the Lord would drop a blessing into our soul, even in answer to our plea. And in that way that he would bring peace where perhaps there is anxiety, worry. That the Lord would bring joyfulness where there has been sadness. That the Lord would show a token for good. In a sense, the Lord's tokens are always with us. The very fact that he upholds us, guides us, keeps us, that's all of the Lord. But the psalmist is asking for something manifest, something evident, something that the Lord would do above and beyond what he does at other times. God blesses his people in different ways. Well, he did that at the beginning, did he not? Perhaps we have been very much of the world, and our ways were worldly, and we were lost in those sinful pleasures, the ways of the ungodly, that was the environment in which we lived. And the gospel, something we had heard of, were aware of, but it meant nothing to us. But the Lord had his eye upon us, his love upon us. It was to be revealed. It was to be made manifest. And the Lord in his own time did that in the gospel, blessing his word to our soul, the work of his spirit in our hearts. And he drew us. We came put our trust in the Saviour. The Lord was making known his love. And how great is his love. It's wonderful to read the account of the prodigal son. Not every believer was a prodigal in the sense of the man in the parable going to the extremes, as it were, the far country of sin and disobedience. But because we're all the sons of Adam, we're all sinners, there must be something in what we read of the prodigal that was true of us also. But to think of the way in which the prodigal was received by his father, when he came to his senses, when he resolved to go home, when he would confess his sinfulness, his folly, to his father. He was on the way, but he had not yet reached home. And the father was looking out for him. And the father went out to him. Had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And all the prodigal can think of is his own unworthiness. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. Father so delighted that his son who was dead was alive again, lost and was found. Tokens of the love of the Father to his erring son. We have tokens, do we not, from the Lord. We had them at the beginning. We've had them along the journey. And we look for them as we seek to make progress toward the heavenly city. Gospel grace. Encouragements in our walk that the Lord is with us and for us. That he will not let us go, and that we will be able to endure until the end and so be saved. And this is the love of God to his own. He might simply give us his word, and that is enough. But he knows our weakness. He knows how frail we are in every way and how weak we are in every grace. So above and beyond the word, he gives us tokens. We have tokens of the covenant, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And in these ways we may perceive the love of God, his favor toward us. Baptism, you see, is not something done once and then to be forgotten about. Something that should be present to your mind. Looking back, looking at that sign, understanding what it means. Well, to see in our baptism, the washing with water representing the washing by the blood. The washing of sin from the soul. The cleansing power of the cross of Christ. And the Spirit bringing the blessings of the cross of Christ to our soul. The Lord's Supper. Bread and wine. Tokens, emblems of the death of Christ. We sit at the Lord's table frequently because it's speaking of communion, fellowship with the Lord. And that's something that should be ongoing. And often the Lord blesses his people richly at the Lord's table. Show me a token for good. Maybe in the wilderness. And all we can do is pray. Call upon God. Psalmist was in that situation on occasions. This is his request. His earnest, fervent plea. Show me a token for good. Some evidence of thy love and favor toward me. Then secondly, why it was requested. And there is a particular reason. That they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. And this tells us David's particular situation. Now there may be many reasons to be seeking a token from the Lord. A token for good. The reason here is, as we find so often in the Psalms, David is beset with enemies, and the content of the psalm, it tends to agree with the experiences he had when he was persecuted by Saul. It went on for a long time. Saul, quite unjustly, wrongfully, persecuted David, righteous man of God, one who had never wronged Saul. And David is making his request for a token from the Lord, that his enemy might see it, that all who are against him and pursuing him and seeking to do him harm, that they might see this token and be ashamed. Every believer faces the world, the flesh, and the devil. We always refer to those three because they're in every generation. There's never a Christian in this world, but that is the difficulty the Christian has. The world, the ungodly world, the flesh, our own remaining corruption, and Satan, our great adversary. And perhaps here it is particularly the world, the ungodly. And the psalmist is asking the Lord for a token, such that those who pursue him, and those who might even seek to destroy him, would be put to shame. That the Lord would show himself strong on behalf of his servant. That the Lord would make it plain to those who are going after David that in so doing, they're opposing the Lord, and that they will not prosper, and that the Lord is a righteous Lord, God of justice. And if from the hearts and minds of the ungodly there is this enmity toward his people, then the Lord will intervene for their sake. The Lord will come for their deliverance. We need trust in God. We need to be confident in the Lord. So easy when you're in difficulty, when you're in a situation which is trying, to seek to extricate yourself by some method or means of your own, and perhaps even to use some method or means that is not a righteous one. To consciously place yourself in the care and keeping of the Lord. To maintain the truth. To continue in obedience. To be a witness, to stand on the side of Christ, and leave the matter with the God of heaven, the God of covenant, mercy, and grace. God has his own way of delivering his people out of their difficulties. Promise is that that is indeed what he will do. Psalm 34 has many verses which speak to this subject. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do we believe that? Do we believe that in our own dark day? For the Church of Jesus Christ in our land, much opposition. And if certain people got their way, they would silence the Lord's people. And if the Lord's people would not be silent, they would put them in prison. That's the attitude which we're seeing more and more because of our belief. And are not God's people utterly misrepresented? We're told that we are full of hatred. We're told that we despise people who live sinful lives, judged by the word of God. We love them. We love them sufficiently to tell them that they are in danger. Moral, spiritual, eternal danger. That is not hatred. It would be hatred if we simply said nothing. Left them alone. Let them go headlong to destruction. But no. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we love the ungodly, even those who may oppose us, such that we would seek to bring the word of God to them. The word that searches the heart, and the gospel, which brings healing to those souls that are broken because of sin. The Lord is able to preserve his people, to deliver them out of the hands of the wicked. And he's able to give them his peace and his joy, even as they experience such opposition, such hatred. That itself is a witness that surely others will see and wonder at. And perhaps in the goodness and grace of the Lord, begin to understand that there is something profound, something very blessed in this gospel which we profess and which we seek to live by. God is very gracious to his own, especially in these times of difficulty. And the enemies of the church and of the believer are ashamed when the Lord shows a token for good that these are his people. We read, do we not, of the apple of his eye. And whoever touches his people is touching the apple of God's eye. They're precious to him. And woe to those who would do harm to those who are dear to God, those for whom Christ shed his blood. Well, third and finally, what it represents, this token for good. Because thou, Lord, hast opened me, helped me, and comforted me. He's speaking of his trust in the Lord, his assurance that the Lord is indeed his helper. He is one who has much experience of the Lord's loving kindness. And in his trials, he has enjoyed comfort. This has been his portion in time past. That's the way the Christian is. We are to look back. We're not to rest upon past experiences, but we are to take encouragement from them. To exercise the same faith as we have done previously, and to believe and to expect that the same God will give the same blessing. Because God is unchangeable. And he's unchangeable in his favor, his love, his grace to his people. And that's what the token represents. His eternal favor, which is revealed to his people in time, when they are brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. Favor was manifest at the cross, in that Jesus Christ died for sinners at Calvary. But we desire, do we not, to be assured more and more that he died for our sins. Because everything else flows from that. Your peace, your joy, your hope, your comfort within. It all comes from the knowledge that you are one of the Lord's. That when he died on the cross, it was in your place. Show me a token for good. Help me again, comfort me anew, that I may be reassured that I am thine. Token might be some temporal provision, some particular need you have at a particular time, in terms of your earthly needs. You have a warrant to go to God for that. It's even there in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. That represents our earthly portion. God is indeed a Father in that sense, in providence. He will bestow what is good for our needs here. Show me a token for good. It may be some strengthening we need in our soul to be able to stand in the evil day. Or the Lord has some work for us to do, some witness we are to bear. And we know ourselves to be inadequate. And we fear what it is to name the name of Christ, to identify with his cause. But that is what we are bound to do. And if we have any love to Christ, that is what we will do. But show me a token for good. Strengthen me, that I may be able to be a witness, a faithful, sincere witness for my Savior. Show me a token for good. It may be comfort. Comfort. who suffered loss, disappointment. And we know that the Lord has promised to uphold his own, to be with them in the time of trouble. And we're praying to the Lord that he would reveal his comfort, that he would make us aware once again that while we suffer losses here, while we carry our cross here, there is reserved in heaven for us salvation, eternal life, and that one day we shall receive when all our difficulties here are at an end. There's another way in which God may show us a token for good. It's perhaps not one we consider so often. It may be in the way of chastisement. And when you think of the psalmist, Psalm 51, God's chastening is upon him because he's committed grievous sin, because of his adultery with Bathsheba, and all that was involved in that. But God has not cast him off. God is showing him a token for good in that there is a sense of sin. And there is repentance. And the psalmist is able to pray in that psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Because he has that awareness that God has not utterly left him. There is a way back. What an awful situation to be in, when you can see no way back. And perhaps that's an evidence that you've not enjoyed the saving grace of God to begin with. The Lord never leaves or forsakes his own. There's always some evidence there. And they are unable to pray, "Show me a token for good." And the Lord will do it. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's a fatherly thing, a loving thing. These helps from the Lord, these consolations, these tokens of the Lord's love to our souls. That's how we should go on, hand in hand with the Lord. A nearness to Jesus Christ. A heart-to-heart fellowship with him. And the Lord indeed loves to reveal himself to his people. May we have a greater desire for his presence. And for these blessings that he gives, may we seek to walk always in obedience, in the light of his word, and in that way, on that path, we will have these tokens to reassure us that we are his, and we will dwell with him in a blessed eternity. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, wilt thou in thy goodness reveal thy tokens to us, whereby we may know and be assured anew of thy love to our souls, and how we are found in Christ Jesus by grace, and in Christ Jesus have a title to a full salvation. Thou wilt give grace and glory. Thou wilt enable us by faith in Christ to gain that victory which overcomes the world and every foe. Bless us each one. Be with us in all our experience. And pardon our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.